Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for making the adjustment on the Wednesday class. Just for today. Oh, man, poor CJ. He's really not here. Anyway, David, Roman, dito na lang tayo. Move forward na lang. Kaling na kinawa, di ba? Inubos mo na niya yung ding-dong dyan. Okay. The reason why we had to move was to be able to accommodate Pastor Jordan's schedule, but he was kind enough that he was one of the first people we got to pin down. But it was really clear that there was no Thursday in the next 10 weeks that was available. So it would have to be on a Wednesday for this time. What we asked him to discuss, as we were debating about the topics for this round of the school conference, of the staff development, is, as you can tell with our classes, I really like our curriculum because it's a mix of leadership and ministry and theology and Bible knowledge and then spiritual. Hey, CJ, sorry, bro, so close.
What happens to me?
Honest papers have unlike certain people who will not go name down. But it's not worth it talaga, di ba, Noel? We asked Pastor Joseph to speak to us about spiritual gifts. I think this is in line with where we're going in general as a ministry. And actually, it's really exciting. We might explain it more in the coming months. But we really feel that to get to the next level of where God's calling us as a campus ministry, we need more than just good strategy. We need more than just good structures and organizations. But we need every single individual, whether that's a full-time person or not a full-time person, to be superpowered by the Holy Spirit talaga. And this is something that we're really excited about. Pastor Jojo, more than just being someone who's prophetic and moving in that in himself, has been excellent at training and raising other people to that level as well. We were just together in Jakarta, in Indonesia. I was just blown away by, he had to prophesy to a number of students there. Alam niyo naman, di ba, yung joke nila na parang ordinary meeting lang, ito lang yung ito lang marami yung tao, pero kung sinabi niya may prophetic, biglang dumadami talaga. And he was expecting maybe 10 to 15 people, and then 80 people showed up. So, muna na lang, he didn't have to prophesy to all of them. And then one of the girls there was new. And after prophesying to her, the meeting was over, and then someone went up the girl went up to him. This was what, last Friday. And then she had got a chance later, but tapos sinabi ng friend niya, my friend is asking, how did you know that about her? She said, no one knows that about me. Parang, how did you know? I said, dayuhan ka pa yan. Tapos sabi niya, parang, it's God who knows it. The girl you see was so shocked that God would know things about her. That's the power of ministering in just one of the spiritual gifts, the word of knowledge or of prophecy. And the Bible gives us so much more. So, we're hoping that our takeaway from this lesson, it's not only that we would move in it ourselves, so that's already amazing, but that we would be able to activate it in other people as well. Imagine your campus ministries having your students be superpowered this way. That's the goal, okay? So without further ado, let's welcome Pastor Joseph.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Good. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
So thank you, Joseph, for this opportunity to share. For a while, we came from Jakarta, just got back Monday night, and yesterday I just had a fever, so I was kind of just asking God give me just a strength for today, teach you today, impart some of the things that I have experienced, and some of the things I found out from the scriptures on the gifts, or particularly prophetic for me, because that's where I'm moving. But anyway, just for starters, can we just pray? Father, we thank you for just this morning. I ask you, Lord God, that you give us ears to hear, Lord, what your Spirit would say. Lord, I know that we have a set topic for today, but Lord, I just ask you, Father God, that you would equip us, you would just help us, oh God, speak to us. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Now, I understand that most of you that are here today are all campus youth leaders in your own respective churches, right? So, 25 years ago, I was a campus leader as well. Believe it or not, I got saved when I was 19. When I got saved, you know, I think 1 month after, I started moving in the gifts already. I did not know that it was, nobody ever taught the gifts. Basic message that I heard in Victory at that time was just basically, you know, change the world, you know, have a passport, have a Bible, that's all I heard, you know. And it's like, you're a leader, you can do something, so that's all I heard. But we never really heard any messages in regards to gifts or prophecy. There was nothing. But what I did was that when I got saved, I started praying. There was this desire to pray for people. It was always like I would go to someone and I would just pray with them, and later on I would see them crying and I would wonder, why are you crying? Did I say something wrong? I mean, it was always because I didn't know if I said something wrong, so they were crying. But every time I prayed for them, it was a specific concern that they were going through. And then when I prayed, we didn't see that. So I kept doing it, and then later on I found out that it was not a prophetic. I was moving in the gift of prophecy. And so, I think after a few months or after a year, I think, I went to the U.S. and I was in a church. It was one of our churches in Maranatha then, many years ago, 1986, I believe. Some of you were not even born. So 1986, I was there. I was in this church, and there was a pastor there by the name of Bob Martin. I was so amazed at him because I saw him. He was pastoring that church. And he was prophetic, and he was moving in the gifts. And then he basically called me one during the service. He just called me up and he just laid hands on me and basically said that God has called you to be a prophet. God has called you to move in the spiritual dimension. So I had no idea what that meant. But right after that, I started moving in greater degree when it comes to the spiritual gifts and the prophetic. I started doing it more and more. I started going from church to church, and then I became a pastor at a very young age, and I started moving in the prophetic, even in preaching, prophetic. It was exciting because every time I ministered, it was like I was hitting the target. And that's the beauty of spiritual gifts, that's the beauty of the prophetic, because when you do ministry, you can actually turbocharge your ministry. You can actually make ministry easier when you start moving in the gifts. I saw myself moving in this area in terms of preaching, counseling. I like it because when I start counseling people, normally some people go through counseling, they would spend hours and hours and hours in counseling. They would sit down. Who here like counseling? Nobody's lifting up their hands. I guess nobody likes counseling. You sit down and you listen to what they say, and you begin to, you know, you listen to them, their problems and their issues. And it just goes on out for hours and hours and sometimes even days. But somehow I would sit down with a certain individual, and I would come speak to them for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, then all of a sudden the Spirit of God would give me an issue about this person's life, and the counseling would be done in an hour. And I saw that happen more and more. And then later on, over the years, I started going through trainings, and then the first formal training I had was in 1991 or 1992. When a group of prophetic ministers came to the Philippines, the group of Bill Hammond, I don't know if you're familiar with them, Bill Hammond came, and he started training us. And there was this certain lady who actually saw me and spotted me, and she kind of adopted me. Her name was Mary Crum. And she started to see something in me, and she started to call me. She started, when I would go to the station, to invite me to her church. And I remember getting trained in the prophetic. It was scary because they would always ask me to do things that I felt I could not do. I remember the first time I went to the States, you know, and I got to preach in Atlanta, preach in this church. And then this girl basically said, okay, Pastor George, the way they introduced me, but Pastor George is a prophet from the Philippines. No, I'm not a prophet. So I'm going to go and just pick it. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go.
And Pastor Joe, too handsome, he's going to be prophesying to you guys today. And they go, Pastor Penny, I'm like, you know, it's okay.
And then, and the type of prophecy was, so, Pastor Penny, you're going to choose the guys, right? You're going to choose the people here, and then I'm just prophesying.
No. After you preach, you just stand there and just point, and just be led by the Spirit and just point at them and then just start prophesying. I never did this before. No, it's okay. Man, I was so scared.
And so I started to step out in faith and start to prophesy. You know, start to prophesy over this person. Some people sometimes get out about that because when you prophesy over them, when you move into gifts, but you mukha nila, slow it up on a girl. But sometimes I don't look at their face anymore because I just close my eyes and start prophesying. And then later on, I found out later that some of the things I said was hitting the mark. And so I had to step out in faith. And then went back to the Philippines. Okay, I'm saying with all these stories. And then I went back to the Philippines. And then they came again to do training, a formal training in the Philippines. And so the training was at the PICC. It was big. And then here again, this girl again, this Mary Crown, basically said, okay, we're going to divide the teams at that time. So I was young at that time. I was just starting in this prophetic thing. I was really excited. I was really fired up. And then everybody that was there, the big name guys in the Philippine context of the Christian church, they were all there. Eddie Villanueva. I mean, there were pastors of big churches that were there. And then they were all they all wanted to be trained. And so finally, there was a prophetic presbytery. I mean, they had different rooms at the ACC. So they had to divide the pastors. And so Mary Cam goes, Pastor Jojo is leading the team here. And then nilagay sa akin Pastor Javin Kapasaran. He's a pastor of this big church. And here I was the leader. And then we got into this room, I kid you not, we got into a room as big as the hall upstairs. As big as the hall upstairs. There were probably 500 people in that hall. And then we went up there and I looked at this lady, this was helping with Mary Crown, and she was basically saying, I want you to prophesy to everybody. I said, Pastor, 500 people, I don't think I can do that. No, you can't. And then so they had to line up all these people. I was prophesying. And then by the 10 or 15, I was so tired. And I went to her, I basically went to Pastor Mary Crown and said, Pastor Mary, I'm so tired, can I take a rest? Oh, okay, so you want to take a rest, okay. And then she pulls me and that's okay, prophesy over him again. And then I started going over and over. And then believe it or not, we went prophesying for 4 hours with all short prophecies of all these people. That's how I got trained. I was pushed to do it. How many know sometimes that it's not enough for us to hear a lot of teaching on prophetic ministry? That not just prophetic ministry, but really ministry when you talk about all these principles that we learn here. At the actual learning is when you actually go out and do it. And so that's what happened to me. Started just going out and just stepping out in faith. And right now, I was asked to come back here. I came from Malaysia, you know, pastoring church there. And I was up and I had to come back here. Pastor Manny and Joseph's dad and Pastor Jovi basically asked me to head up this prophetic ministry in the Philippines because they felt it was a big need right now. We were growing in a pace that's unbelievable right now. I think we're hitting about 60,000 in Metro Manila, close to 60, not even counting the whole of the Philippines. So we're really hitting it big in terms of the numbers. And they were just basically telling me there's a need now to train the people to the prophetic because people are hungry for the spiritual, for spiritual things. People are hungry for something much deeper than just what we have. I believe in structures. I appreciate the structures that we have. I appreciate all the strategies and methods that we're learning, but coming in without the Spirit of God, without the unction of the Spirit of God, and sometimes all that could just be dead. And sometimes we can just go through the motions without really understanding, without really the backing of the Holy Spirit, and everything becomes tiring. Now, you know, I was kind of thinking of what we'll teach with you today, because we have on your desk right now is the course that we normally teach before on spiritual gifts. Maybe some of you have gone through some of the things already, but we will not go through the whole lesson today. But I'd like to highlight some lessons and maybe make some additions to what I have now. Now, we're in the process right now of coming up with a more advanced training on the prophetic with the help of Paul Barker. Paul Barker's going to be helping out in terms of having a more theological framework and background on the prophetic, so that we can have in the future, we're going to have more trainings when it comes to the prophetic. Because my faith and my prayer is that we would raise up an army of prophets, an army of people that know God and hear God, and so that they can go into all the churches to prophesy. Kasi ngayon, what happens now is that there's a lot of clamor for prophetic presbytery, and my schedule has been so crazy. Now, the time will come that some of the people that you're discipling will go out and do the prophetic ministry. And later on, maybe the next 2 years, we're going to send teams now into the nations of the world to do prophetic training. Now, that's, to me, that is exciting. To me, that is the vision that we have. So anyway, I'd like to just go through, there are a couple of lessons that you have there in your manual. But I'd like to focus now on the God who speaks. The God who speaks. But just for just a survey, how many here have actually, how many here move in the prophetic? Anybody here move in the prophetic, move in spiritual gifts? Anybody here? Yes, Edrey, I know Julius, Glenn from Queso City. I know Queso City is a good training program. Is that Queso City?
Yeah.
Yeah, Queso City, Glenn. So, Eros also is straight here, so Eros laughing. So anybody aside from you, anybody else that moved in the prophetic spiritual gift? Joseph, I know Joseph, he was in China. Was that China? He was in China with Gilbert. And then Gilbert came up to me after that weekend. Big Gilbert goes, I think Joseph is a prophet too, because he starts to prophesy. How do you feel moving in that?
I've been getting prophecies about moving, about that day for years. Hello, I've always been up there.
Anybody else? Somebody here? Yeah, you. You start. You move into prophetic too, right? It's funny because people that visited, some people like Michael Paderis, we went also to China years back, 7 years ago. We went to China and we were thrust into this hundreds and hundreds of people that wanted prophetic ministry. But anyway, he started to prophesy, and then he looked at me after, and he goes, I can prophesy pa na. So, yeah. Because wala, and sometimes we were, we were so tired that me and Pastor Michael basically said, why don't we just give simple words, the Lord loves you, the Lord says the Lord loves you. Ganun na lang, okay na ganun. Kasi pagod na eh. But you know what, every time we say that, dami sila umiiyak. Tapos we go, come, the Lord spoke. But actually more people came because sometimes we think that we prophetic or spiritual, it has to be something elaborate, something really deep, but really it doesn't have to be. Just simple words can actually minister to them. Anyway, I'd like to talk about this lesson of the God who speaks. Hebrews 1:1-2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in this last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Let me read a paragraph here. One of the greatest revelations that God has given of himself is that he is a God who speaks. He speaks to us because he created us to have a relationship with him. And communication is an essential part of any relationship. We all know that God constantly speaks. How many here people, young people have come to you and told you that they ask you, how does God speak? But in reality, God constantly speaking. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, God spoke to them just regularly. I like it because when Joseph's dad was preaching in Jakarta, he was talking about Adam and Eve, you know, God would come in the cool of the day. I mean, he would have this relationship with Adam and Eve. That is God's intended plan for humanity. Is for God to be able to speak to man and man to be able to speak to God. That was a norm. But you know what happened? Because of sin, because of disobedience, that relationship with God was severed. And all of a sudden, the ability to hear God was dulled. Because of sin. Because there was no more connection, there was no more direct line because of sin. That's what happens when the sin comes into our lives, is that it dulls our ability to hear God. I mean, what I'm talking about, even to this day, there's this sense when we fall or when we do certain things, we know that somehow that relationship is broken. But you see,
The good news is that, let me fast forward, the good news is this, Jesus Christ came and redeemed us and justified us. And now that relationship has been restored and that communication line has been restored as well. But how do you know sometimes we still have difficulty hearing the voice of God? Now, all through the scripture, you will find that God constantly wants to communicate with his people. But the problem is that the people always had this difficulty in hearing the voice of God. That's why God had to raise some prophets, God had to raise some judges to be able to speak the word of the Lord. Because God wants to speak to his people. God is constantly speaking. Now, I believe that God is restoring today through the prophetic ministry. God is restoring today to the prophetic ministry that to train people so that people can hear God again. There's a story in Numbers. We don't have it in your notes, but there's a story in Numbers about Moses. He felt like the load of work has been too heavy for him. So what God did, he said, take the 70 elders to you. It's found in Numbers 11, 24, and 25. Just write it down. God told Moses to bring the 70 of your elders. So he brings 70 of his elders, and then what God did, I will take the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. You understand what I'm saying? So he said, take your 70 elders, your leaders, bring them, and I will put the spirit that I put in you, and I will put it on the 70 elders. So what happened with the 70 elders? They started to prophesy. They started to prophesy. The spirit of God was upon them, and then they started to prophesy. They were equipped. All of a sudden, there's this ability to hear God. There's this unction from the spirit of God. They started to prophesy. But the problem was this, no? There were two other guys outside from the group, different from the 70 elders. The Bible says that they were not part of the eldership, but there were two guys by the name of Eldad and Medad. They were in the camp, and they were also prophesying. And then Joshua, he was concerned, and he went to Pastor Moses, and basically told Pastor Moses, Pastor Moses, there are two guys outside who's not part of the eldership. They're also prophesying. Stop them. But what did Moses say? Moses basically said, in verse 29 of Numbers 11, he said this, don't stop them. He said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. He said, this is what Moses said. He said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. I believe what Moses was saying, I believe that he was saying that he wished that all the Lord's people were people that could hear God so that they can prophesy. Amen. I believe that that is also the vision of Joel. When Joseph Bonifacio preached that in Indonesia as well, they talked about Joel, when he said that in the last days, that your sons and daughters will what? Will prophesy. They will hear the word of the Lord and they will start prophesying. You see, it is God's desire that we hear his voice. It is God's desire that we have a relationship with him, that we can hear him and declare the word of the Lord. So God is constantly speaking to us. We know the benefits of hearing the voice of God. There's some of the benefits of hearing God's voice is written down here. We can just go through it. There are three major benefits that we receive as we hear and respond to God's voice. Number one, we will know and fulfill God's will in our lives. How many know that's important? How many know that to be able to fulfill the call of God in our lives, we have to know his voice. We need to hear his voice. We will know and fulfill God's will in our lives. Our ability to hear from God will allow us to live and walk in his will for our lives. Fulfilling God's will starts with knowing that we are not only saved, but also called to his purpose. So we must have ears to hear with his call. I believe that all of you that are here today, you are here because God called you. And you are not here because some person forced you to be here. I believe God spoke to you to be here. I believe that you are all here. When I look at King, when I look at Francis, I remember Francis when he was a young believer in Alabama. Remember that many years ago. I remember the days I had counseling sessions with Francis, that he always wanted to serve. But at the end of the day, if we don't hear the voice of God, for the call of God, then we won't have the confidence to do what we're called to do. You know, I've been in, believe it or not, I've been in four or five churches already. Sometimes my wife, you know, Joseph, Ada would always tease me. Would say, Joe, where are we going again? Joe, you keep dragging me around. I'm not dragging you around. The Lord calls me to go to certain places. You know, every place I went to was hard and difficult. The first church I went to was the Gupan. That was in Pangasinan. That was 1987 when I went there. Man, when I got there, I had no idea. Pastor Steve came up to me and basically said, Pastor, I wasn't a pastor then. He said, Georgia, would you like to go to the Lupan and plant our first church? And I was so excited. And all of a sudden, my facial expression changed. And then he looked at me and he goes, wait, why's your face that way? Why do you look that way? And he said, Pastor Steve, I never preached a message in my whole life. And then he goes, good. Then you can go and do all your mistakes there in the church again. So I went. I didn't know how to preach, but I became the pastor of our first church in the Lupan. But I had to come to God and ask God, God, is this your call? Is this what you're trying to let me do? And you know what? I heard the voice of God. Ida looked at me, and I've never heard the word the Lupan before. I grew up in Makati. Never heard that. Where's the Lupan? And we got there. There was nothing in the Lupan. There were no malls. There were no establishments with air conditioning. Only one Dunkin' Donuts, and we had to take a tricycle. And Jonathan was 6 months old when we went there. It was hard, it was difficult, but what kept me going? Because God spoke to us, and He said, go. You see, having the call of God and hearing the voice of God will help you fulfill the call of God in your lives. Because at some point, it can't be Joseph Bonifacio calling you. Maybe initially, CJ can tell you, would you like to go here? But at some point, you will have to hear the voice of God in order for you to be strong and do His will and fulfill His call in your life. Number two, we will be prosperous and successful in all our endeavors. The Lord told Joshua that he would be prosperous and successful if he meditated on the book of the law, which is the word of God. However, meditation is not an end in itself, but should enable us to carefully obey everything written in it. It is obedience to God's word that brings success and prosperity. Number three, we will be effective in advancing God's kingdom. Hearing God's voice will cause us to understand God's heart, His passion for His Son, and compassion for those who are lost. We will also be able to receive His direction and guidance for the church, whom Jesus has entrusted the keys of the kingdom. Praise God. We will be effective in advancing the kingdom of God. Now, there are various means by which God speaks. This is, to me, basic that we need to understand. First, the first one is through the scriptures. The first one is through the word. The scriptures are the very words of God in written form. It is the final authority for all our faith and practice and serve as a standard by which we judge all other revelations. I constantly, there's a lot of weirdos out there. I'm telling you, I was with Jim LaFood just last year and we sat down and we had this round table and then you guys know Jim LaFood, right? So Jim LaFood represents a ministry, and he would go to roundtable meetings with other prophets all over the world. And he was telling this story that there was a particular meeting. He got into this meeting, and they were all arguing. And then Jim basically said, he asked, "Why are you arguing?" They were arguing about what the Lord was saying about the tablecloth. And they were all fighting about this tablecloth. And some of them were going to extremes, a little weird, and then Jim would shake his head and scratch his head and go, "Man, there's a lot of weirdos out here." That's why he said that, that's why if we don't teach the people, if we don't train the people, there's a lot of weirdos, there's a lot of weird stuff that's going to happen. And some of them can actually go off and say certain things because an angel appeared to them. And you know, most cults were started because an angel appeared to them. But the thing is, it has to be in line with Scripture. Anything that we say, no matter who the person is, anything we say or do, which is not in line with the Scripture, we are not going to listen to that. We obey and we stick to the Word of God. So that is basic. In fact, when we were in Jakarta, some of the pastors were telling me that this certain lady, basically, the Lord God spoke to her that we should not even reach the lost anymore. We should not even plant churches anymore. We should not even reach you. You forget that. All we have to do is just, you know. And she said that the Lord spoke to her. And the pastor was scratching his head. Man, this is just nuts. This is crazy. You see, there's a lot of things that's going on. You can go off course if you don't have the foundation for the Word of God. That's why I appreciate people around me because I'm prophetic. But I appreciate people around me like Jeray Mora. He's a friend. You know, if you know Jeray, he can move sometimes in the prophetic, but he's so very pastoral. 30 times I would tell Pastor Jeray about certain things, and he would look at me and say, nah,
I don't think it's that. I appreciate Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, the same when you talk to Pastor Steve. I mean, you have a word. Pastor Steve can just go look at you and say, nah, I think you missed God. And you know, I missed God so many times. And there was one time I was like, Pastor Steve, I have to go here, I have to go there. And then he looked at me and said, that's not God. And sometimes I'm sucking, and sometimes really, it's not God. But I heard that, no, it's not God. And I would just be quiet. And then later on, I find the wisdom to what he was saying. Because I realized that, you know, it wasn't God. Because I thought at that time it was God. That's why you need people around you. That's one of the dangers of the prophetic. Because people can come to you and tell you, this is what the word of the Lord, I should marry that person. Let me tell you that those are the no-nos when we, because that's manipulation, you know, it has to, every relationship has to come, you know, there must be a mutual agreement, there must be an attraction for both parties. You can't just go to a person and tell them, hey, the Lord told them to marry you. And, I've counseled people, you know, and women actually, that came up to me was crying and said, the person, the Lord told him. Am I disobeying God if I don't? I said, no, that's not the word of the Lord. You know, just, she was really crying. But then she told me, Pastor, no, it's good enough. I should have an attraction to the guy, no? God won't give me anybody who's ugly. Yeah, the Lord will give you, you know, your heart's desire, you know, God's so good. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because everything has to be based on scripture. You know, when you hear that talk here today, that seemed to be basic for us. But outside, it's not. Outside, that's disagree, you know. But it's really important we understand everything must be based on scripture. Number two, the Holy Spirit. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in us forever. He's the one who will lead us and guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We will talk about that later on. How does the Holy Spirit speak? That's a $1 million question. But through the Holy Spirit. The inward witness of the Spirit of God in us. Number three, the preaching of the Word. God often speaks to His people as they listen to the Word of God being preached. The preaching of God's Word by an anointed minister becomes a living Word that is able to penetrate the hearts of the people. So we hear God through the preaching of the Word. I don't have to elaborate on that. Number four, godly counsel. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ and therefore become joined to one another. We cannot fulfill our destiny in God without being in relationship with His people. Many times the Lord will use pastors or other godly leaders to speak His word into our lives. You know, there was one time, this is funny, I went to a church, I did a prophetic training. The word that I gave one of these elders, I said, the Lord says you're going to pack your bags, you're going to go from place to place, and the Lord says that you're going to fulfill the calling of God, you're going to fulfill the great commission. I gave that word. And then that weekend, he came to his pastor and told his pastor that he's moving out. And then his pastor goes, who told you to move out? The pastor John Johansson prophesied over me that I'm going to pack my bags and I'm going to go and go from place to place and fulfill the Great Commission. And then this pastor was scratching his head. He didn't know what to say. Came up to me. He said, what are you saying with this prophecy that you're telling about this one of our elders? He said that he needs to go. And I told him, no, you can sit down and have counsel him. I mean, sometimes the prophetic word that's spoken over us has a time element. There's a timing element to it. And so this guy basically did not want any godly counsel from anybody else because he felt that he heard the voice of God. He heard through the prophet that this is what he has to do. But how many know we need godly counsel? We need people around us to speak into our lives. We'll talk about that later on. So godly counsel is important. Anybody, any single people here? Most of us are single, okay. Just wanted to know. Anyway. You know that area, right? You need counsel all the time. So. You guys know what I'm talking about. Number five, New Testament prophet. What? Congratulations, pala, bro. Congratulations. Godly counsel, very important. What? Okay, number five, New Testament prophet. Within the church, the Lord has given prophets as a special voice to speak His mind and plans. The prophetic ministry in the New Testament is an extension of the ministry of Jesus Christ as prophet. This will be elaborated later on. But anyway, the New Testament prophet, you know, I do not consider myself, I don't call myself, I do have the fear of God to introduce myself as a prophet, you know. None of us, actually, we talked to Pastor Manny, he's not the type of guy, you know, I'm Prophet Manny Carlos. You know, but I do believe that there are people in our local church that are, you know, when I look at Pastor Manny, I see him as a real prophet. You know, when I look at Jim LeFou, these are people people that I really respect and trust in terms of the prophetic ministry. So I listen to really, when Pastor, how many of you know this, when Pastor Manny speaks, it's almost like you're all, wow. And sometimes I'm in awe every time he speaks because of the wisdom that comes out of him. He may not necessarily say, thus says the Lord, but you know that when he speaks, you know that God is speaking and the wisdom that comes out of him. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I believe that God has given New Testament prophets. Number six, prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the voice of the Holy Spirit within the church to bring strengthening, encouragement, and comfort to saints. And number seven, angels. I still have to... There are people, actually, that I've heard that there are angels that actually came to them and spoke to them. But it does happen. Now, the question that a lot of people are, how do we hear God's voice? You know, everywhere I go, people would ask me, how do you actually hear God's voice? Sometimes I tell them that hearing God's voice is really a relationship with God. Nothing more, nothing less. It's really a relationship with God. If we learn how to relate with Him and have intimacy with God, then we end up learning to hear the voice of God. There's a scripture in John chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. This is not in your notes, but let me just share this. John chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. It says here, the sheep follow Him. Where's that scripture? Do we have that scripture? Can somebody read that? I'm sorry. John chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. John chapter 10. Okay. Oh, here. When he has brought up all. Out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and sheep follow him because they know his voice. I like that. I'd like to focus on it. But they will never follow a stranger's voice. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Go back to the previous verse. It says here that the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Did you know, to the degree that we know his voice would be the degree of our following? Because the reason why we effectively follow Christ is because we know His voice. I remember when I was discipling people, you know, the early days, people told me, you know, what I needed to do. You have to read your Bible, you have to pray, and I appreciate discipleship. I appreciate the people helping me in my walk with God. But there was a time in my life that I had to learn to hear the voice of God. Because when I learn to hear the voice of God, then I can effectively follow Him. The problem many times is that a lot of people don't learn to hear the voice of God, and they end up just hearing man's voice. So that when Jesus' voice is actually speaking, Jesus actually becomes a stranger to them. And they end up not following. Because you see, they will not follow a stranger's voice, you see. But what happens is that if we don't learn to hear the voice of God, then we end up not really knowing how to follow Him. That's why discipleship is really helping people follow Jesus. Part of discipleship is helping them hear the voice of God in order for them to follow Christ effectively. So to the degree that we hear His voice will be the degree of the following of the people. So I believe that we need to learn to help people follow God. One example of that is Samuel. You guys know Samuel, right? Samuel, the Bible says he grew up in the temple. You know, he's offered, he grew up in the temple. But he was discipled by this man by the name of Eli. And he was in the temple. Bible says he grew there. And he grew in wisdom and stature. Bible says he grew there. And how many know that's good? Being in the house, being in the temple, and doing the right things. He was discipled. But there was one particular day when actually God started to speak to him. And God began to speak. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And then he woke up. You guys know the story.
And he runs to his pastor, Pastor Eli, and basically tells Eli, Eli, you called me. And then Eli basically said, no, I can call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. And then once again, the voice of the Lord came again over Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And then he gets up and goes back to the pastor, Pastor Eli, and basically said, Pastor, you called me. No, I didn't. Go back to bed. And then the voice, I don't know how many times, I forget, but Eli realized that God was actually speaking to Samuel. And so, basically, Eli basically said, this is what you do. If the voice speaks again, if the Lord speaks to you again, this should be your prayer. You say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For me, that is, to me, a good discipleship. For me, that is a way of when we teach our people, we teach them, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And so, the voice again came, and then basically Samuel prayed a prayer that his pastor taught him. Say this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then God speaks to Samuel once again. You see, you can be in church and not really know the voice of God. You can be in the temple and not really know the voice of God. But the point, all of us, our hope and our goal is that everybody in church begins to learn how to just to hear the voice of God. And Samuel basically said a prayer and God started to speak. And the funny thing about it, God started to speak about Eli. And told him about this, told him about that. And then, but anyway, Samuel grew in the prophetic. The Bible says that he was so recognized in that nation because his word, God caused every word to be fulfilled. And he was a man that knew the voice of God. So, I just wanted to share that with you, just at least for our first session. But anyway, can we all stand? Can I just... Any questions so far? Any question at least? Maybe your experience, anybody here? Anybody here having an experience for anything? Just... Anybody here? Question about the prophetic, about hearing God? Okay, this one I'd like us to do. I'd like us to just to activate us. I want you to get a partner, somebody that you normally do not associate with, somebody that you don't talk to. And then. And then just partner with that person, and then now this is what we're going to do. We can focus on a certain need. Ask God for a need of this person, and then you're not going to ask, but I want you to just pray by faith about the need of this person, whether finances. And I want you to now remember, we're going to practice because usually I just don't give any specifics. When I train people. But I want us to be more specific today. I want you to ask God for a specific thing that this person has need of. So you can ask God what this person needs, whether finances, except a partner, okay? Like a partner. So I want you to... Okay, whether finances... whether ministry thing, a specific thing, maybe this person believing God for this person to get delivered or healed. I want you to be specific. Now, if you miss it, okay lang. Okay, but I want you to step out in faith. Remember, we're going to practice. I always tell this to people that we're practicing. Okay? Look to that name, to your friend, and say, I'll practice on you. Now, I want you to be specific. Try to be specific. Now, if that person, once again, it doesn't make sense, okay lang. Would that be okay? But I want you to be specific. Okay? Did you know that some people, they ask me, how do you get good in the spiritual gifts? In the prophetic? You know how you get good? By actually making a mistake. When you start doing it, and then when you just have to step out in faith. Because when you step out in faith, you will know and you will learn to recognize the voice of God. Let me tell you, there are many, many times that I had to take some risk and really kapalmos to just have to, I just had to go out and actually do it by faith. And there were times I missed it, and there are times There are times I really hate it, but when I hate it, I'm just so encouraged. But there are times I would miss it, but okay now, you know, when I miss it. Now, okay, can we do that? Let's pray.
Lord, I just ask you today, Lord God, that you would speak to us, O God. Let's all be quiet. Lord, I pray that you speak to us and that help us, O God, to encourage our friend, O God. I pray that you speak to us. Give us just a specific need, O God. A need that my friend is going through, Lord God. I pray that you help me hone in on that need, to pray for that need in the name of Jesus. Now let's be quiet. Ten more seconds. Okay. Stop. Okay, how many here? Anybody here? Got it right? Anybody here? Anybody here? Just testimony that this prayer got really hit you? Anybody here? Okay. Ano yung prayer niyo sa'yo?
Yung una yung car, tapos yung house, and then yung finances, paano mo binabudget. So yung car, this month, ay nagtuturo na sa akin driving a car. Tapos yung house, it's a future. Tapos yung budget talaga yung kung paano yung ganito. At sabi niya, God is your ultimate source.
Wow, praise God. The Lord's gonna, what's your name again? I felt that Julius, the Lord's going to bring about a miracle in the area of the car. The Lord's going to bless you in the car. The next 6 months of review. And let me know, okay, when it comes to you. So anybody here got a good word from Edre? What was the word for you? Okay, anybody else? Yes.
Yeah. He was praying that for like yung ako bilang kami asawa.
But
he was praying about the joy that will not be stolen. I was actually praying that all throughout our subsequent ministry. Of course, the finances that he was also praying about, it was kind of shaky when he started the marriage. So, so very, for me, very accurate and minister.
There's going to be new partners coming to you. New partners. In fact, I just felt like there's going to be 5 to 6 new partners that's going to come soon. So,
it's true.